GOP presidential candidate Ron Paul not at all happy with the amount of power that this new 12-member committee is going to have to get a upfront debt deal done. The next go-round, he joins me by phone. We'll be talking to the judge about this as well. First to you, Congressman. You don't like the sound of this committee. Why not?
Nah, it smells. I just don't understand why Congress is so willing to give up its responsibilities to 12 people. I mean, what does that make the rest of the members of Congress? That makes us all second rate. I mean, we're supposed to be participants. But no, this is a bad sign. But I think it's part of a trend that has happened over many, many years of Congress sending more responsibility to the executive branch and commissions and all. And it's a reflection that they don't have answers, that the country's bankrupt and they don't know quite what to do. And cutting spending is not high on the agenda. It annoys me to no end that every time they talk about cuts and what they have to do, and this commission is going to cut the deficit by $1.5 trillion, but there are no cuts. It's always cuts, against the baseline increases. So that is a real problem we have, is just dealing with the semantics.
Now, we could talk about the details of that package to cut spending over the next 10 years, and as you say, two-thirds of it in the outer years, I believe, after year 2016, so a little upfront, as you've warned and indicated, Congressman. But to this committee, the defense for the committee is that it doesn't take power away from your fellow congressmen and women or those in the Senate. It's just the first step to getting a vote for you guys to have on what they recommend in the House and the Senate, then to the president. You don't like that step?
No, I think that's not exactly what's happening. The committee is going to have a lot of power. They draw up where to cut, and then they send it back to us, and we don't take it to the subcommittee, then the full committee, and we don't talk about what we should do here and there, and we don't have a chance to amend it. It's just do what we present you, or something other than that will happen. It'll be automatic, and it's going to be terrible. So there'll be tremendous pressure to actually accept what they send over.
So let me. I want to be clear on this, though. That, and these are the four folks who would decide who sits on that committee. Three each. They get to choose three each. But if you reject what they recommend, Congressman, is that the trigger then for these other cuts, some of which in the defense area are so onerous and to Republicans, for example, would automatically go into effect? In other words, one try, the House and/or Senate or both reject it, then these automatic triggers kick in.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to know exactly what the package will be like. If they offer some cuts, even though they're not real, that'd be better than not doing anything. But what you're suggesting, if we don't do it and we refuse to do it, they'll be automatic. Then you have to weigh and say, well, which one, from my viewpoint, you have to weigh and say which one's going to cut the most. But then if you do that, then you're endorsing a process you don't like. So in many ways, I get trapped into I want to vote to cut. But to do that, it looks like I'm trapped into doing something. The process will be unconstitutional. But the whole goal should be to cut spending. And, I mean, if we were serious about this, we would just have an agreement. This is very serious business, and we have to stop. Why don't we just freeze the budget? That would really be big cuts. And the way they talk about cuts, what they're talking about is just tokenism, and the deficit is still going to expand by trillions of dollars. The national debt is still going to go up massively.
All right, Congressman, thank you very much. To the point as to whether this is constitutional or even legal, the judge is in the House. All rise. Judge Andrew Napolitano, what do you think?
I agree essentially with what Congressman Paul just said. Look, there are times when the Congress legitimately gives away some of its authority to groups and other areas of the government because of the expertise required to exercise that authority. The Food and Drug Administration makes technical rules that would be beyond the competence of the Congress. The same, for example, with the EPA. But spending is not only what we expect our representatives to do, it's what the Constitution says they and only they can do. So why create, how can you create a class of members of Congress, who have, 12 of them, who have more authority than the other members of Congress? The Constitution simply does not authorize that. Moreover, as Congressman Paul pointed out, whatever this committee comes up with, it's yes or no. You can't debate it, and you can't amend it. And if you don't say yes, then these cuts come in. So this is not members of Congress acting freely in the interests of the people. This is members of Congress acting to avoid a deadline that they've imposed on themselves, giving power to some members of Congress that others don't have. I don't think the courts will buy it when and if it's challenged.
And I wondered, too, what if it's a 6-6 vote on whatever they're coming up with.
Then the triggers will supposedly cut in. But what if it's a 6-6 vote and the Republicans decide, or even the Democrats decide, we can't afford these defense cuts right now? They will have created a box for themselves which will require them to invalidate the legislation that they just spent all summer negotiating and trying to agree upon.
Now, we should say that some of these built-in triggers are particularly onerous to both sides. Of course, as you mentioned, the Republicans, who don't like the $500 billion in defense cuts on top, by the way, of the $350 billion already agreed to over 10 years, some Medicare and Social Security-related trimming that might be particularly onerous to Democrats. So it's
yes.
in their interest to sort of expedite this process. But you're saying, ironically, with this committee, it could exacerbate it.
If Congressman Paul were to file a complaint with a federal judge saying, this legislation has demoted me, it has created more power in the hands of some members of Congress and less in others, and I am in that other group, that is an argument worth making. Will the courts accept that argument, Neil? The courts don't like to get involved in the inner workings of Congress. But this is clearly not consistent with the plain language of the Constitution or with Congress's history of the exercise of its spending powers under the Constitution.
But it's not as if it's unprecedented in terms of the health care law and whether it went beyond Congress's powers to force people to pick up health insurance.
Neil, Congress goes beyond its powers all
no
the
doubt,
time.
But I'm just saying we could be looking at a Congress mired in legal battles for a long time to come.
Just like we're looking at Obamacare being viewed by a couple of dozen judges across the country at the same time. Yes.
Wow.
That's the morass that Congress created in its rush to judgment.
Now we're all getting kicked in the morass, so to speak.
You could put it that
way. So somewhat like that. It's what makes the judge so wicked smile.